Have you ever struggled with fear in your life? Have you ever had the thought that I am not brave? Well, I'm here today to tell you that you are. Welcome to the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in here today. Each week, a friend and I get together and share stories of what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, enjoy your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. And remember, no matter what your story is, you are brave. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis, and I'm so stoked to have you here with me on this Wednesday. It is the second week of March. How is it March already, you guys? I feel like 2020 was just ending, and now we're in March of 2021. Just blows my mind how fast time is moving. I feel the older I get, the faster time moves. It just blows my mind. Anyway, so today's guest is my new friend, Lori Marini. Lori is a fellow cancer survivor. I always love talking to people who have been on the cancer journey because there's so much, even though the cancer diagnosis can be so different, there's so many similarities and experience. And I've just found the cancer, the community to be the most welcoming people. And it's just something that all unites us, something that's really awful. But the way that it unites people and builds relationship is just wonderful. I tell people this all the time. Cancer, although it sucked, was probably the biggest blessing to happen to me. It caused me to be more brave. It caused me to try new things. I met a ton of awesome people, people like Lori. And so I am truly blessed by having cancer, which is a weird thing to say. Anyway, so Lori is a cancer coach. She shares how she became a cancer coach through her own diagnosis of breast cancer. Today, she helps women or people out there who are trying to navigate their journey after being done with treatment. So without further ado, here is my guest, Lori Marini. All right, Lori, I'm going to have you introduce yourself officially.
Okay.
And tell me why you're awesome and give your story.
Oh, you're so sweet. All right. So I am Lori Marini. I am a certified pathologist assistant. So if you know anything about pathology, it's that I'm a tumor expert. I spent the past 20 years identifying and diagnosing tumors. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017, and it really shook up my life to the point that now I am a life wellness cancer coach and also a motivational speaker. And I have a book coming up. So I'm actually a new author too, which I'm really, really excited about. Yeah, thank you. And I also have a podcast that's called Conversations with Courageous Cancer Warriors, where we have cancer warriors, we have caregivers, we also have healthcare providers come on and just talk about their experience and how it's changed their life. And also, more importantly, like how they keep a positive mindset through adversity.
Yeah. That is really cool. When did you start your podcast?
I started my podcast about a year ago.
Okay.
Is it more? It might be more than a year ago. I should really know this. Yeah, I'm really excited because it's gaining some traction. We are international, which is like insane. I'm like, how did that happen, right?
Isn't it crazy when it happens? You're like, people in another country are listening to this. I don't even know who they are.
And I love it. I love it. I think it's just really great. And so we've been able to partner with a lot of different cancer groups, and I'm just very, very blessed to be able to have people come on and share their story. I find that this is a community we never wish anybody to become part of.
Exactly.
But you know, if we're going to do it, then let's just support each other to the best that we can.
Yeah. And I found it's one of the most supportive communities I've ever been a part of. They're just wonderful people in the cancer community. And it's a horrible thing that we're all brought together by cancer, but it's just, the community is just by far amazing. Like just a last night, actually, I had a friend who passed away from cancer a couple of weeks ago. And so we had a funeral. We had our like Zoom funeral for him. And man, I would have never met him if it wasn't for this illness. He was in end of life when I met him. Like you were saying earlier, he was like, I know I have this, but I'm going to live for today. And he just lived this amazing life. He just went after everything he wanted to do. It just blows my mind. Cancer doesn't define who I am and doesn't end my life because I have it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel that people are either of that mindset or they need to get in that mindset, right? That they're struggling to get there, and then they eventually get there, and then like they really truly live all out and aren't defined by it. But it's so hard to make that transition because we all have the fear. We all have that little voice in the back of our minds of like, what's going to happen? I just personally went for my 3-year follow-up and I was surprised by how nervous I was. It's part of the process. It's part of the process of just, it's almost like an acceptance where you just need to be like, okay, this is what, it's a part of my life. I'm on tamoxifen. I know I need to take that every night, even though I absolutely despise it. But it's a part of my life. I just need to get beyond it and just keep living because all we truly have is today. So,
so through your own journey, what caused you to want to become a cancer coach? I had never heard of anything like that before until just meeting you.
I didn't either, to be honest with you. And it was one of those things that my story is really just like everyone else. It's kind of unique and kind of like, oh no, right? So at 40, I went to my primary care provider and she's like, you need to go and get your mammogram this year. And I was like, yeah, I'll go and get it done. But I had just started a new job and I was just, it never happened. So 41 came around, I went to the same practitioner and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I never went for my baseline. And she's like, Laura, don't worry about it. They just changed the guidelines to 45. You bought yourself 4 more years. And I was like, oh, right. And I work in the field and I hadn't heard that. I had no family history. We did a self-exam. I did monthly self-exams. We did not find anything. And so I kind of went home and I was like, all right, well, am I going to wait or am I going to go? Right. But I have worked with metastatic cancer patients my entire career. And now what I was doing at the time was I was right in the front lines with them getting their biopsies and their surgeries done that I really saw the devastation firsthand. So I kind of let it go. And then one night I had a dream. I had a dream where I was riddled with cancer and I woke up like, what the heck is going on? So I called my bestie and I'm like, look, I just had this really crazy dream. And I'm like, I need to schedule that mammogram. And in hindsight, I don't know why I automatically assumed it was the mammogram I needed to go and do, but it's just kind of what it propelled me to do that. So I ended up calling and for an appointment. They had an appointment the very next day, which, you know, never happens.
Never.
So I went for the appointment and they called me back for a second screening. And being in the field, I didn't think anything of it. I knew I had dense breast tissue. I knew that it's normal. They don't always call you back for something. So I went there being like, ooh, whatever. And they did a repeat mammogram. They even did a 3D contrast mammogram. And then they lay me down on the table and they start using the ultrasound machine. And I'm like, okay, not thinking anything of it. Up until the point, they were on image 65 and they were measuring my lymph nodes. And then that's when the light bulb went off. I'm like, okay, there's something here. There's a problem because they don't measure your lymph nodes on a standard screening, right? Like they saw something, there's something going on. And so they came in and they're like, okay, you know, we need to schedule a biopsy for you. Nobody said anything to me up until this point. They're like, we want you to come back in tomorrow. We're going to be doing a biopsy. And I literally had to ask them, what's going on? Yeah. Like I needed them to say the words, even though I knew by them measuring my lymph nodes, I had something going on. I was like staring at that colorful light that they have above head that I now understand why they have it. Yeah. I'm planning my will, what I'm going to do when I get through this, how do I want to live my life? I just went down the rabbit hole, but nobody had yet to say the word cancer to me. So I forced them. I'm like, I need to know what's going on. And so they're like, well, you have cancer. And I was like, what do you mean? Tell me more. I need to know more. Yeah. And I ended up having 4 lesions, one that is about the size of a golf ball in my breast, and we did not feel it. We didn't feel it. So when I kind of put all of that together, her telling me not to go for another 4 years and being diagnosed with a pretty advanced cancer, I am so clear that I probably wouldn't be sitting here with you today if I didn't take it upon myself to go and be my own advocate. So I went through the process. Having my background helped me, but also really hindered me for the fact that I knew too much. So I knew automatically that I was going to go and get a bilateral mastectomy. my surgeon, my oncologist, they were all like, you're being too aggressive. And I always had said to myself, if I'm ever in this situation, this is what I'm going to do. If I've learned anything in my career as a medical professional is that we have one chance. You have one chance to do the right surgery up front. Mm-hmm. And once you start manipulating your body, you're going to cause other complications for yourself. So for me, I didn't want to deal with it. I'm going with a bilateral. And my biopsies ended up showing that I needed to have that done anyways. So I went through all of that. I went through reconstruction. I was very fortunate that even though I had invasion in my breast tissue, my lymph nodes were negative. I didn't need radiation and I didn't need chemo. At the beginning of this whole thing, I was like, take my boobs, take whatever you need to take.
Yeah.
Can you please just spare me, right? So I was very, very blessed. And going to the doctor's appointments, doing all of that, even though I was in the place where I worked, I knew where to park. I knew where the cafeteria was. I knew where I could get a cup of coffee. I knew where my doctor's office was. I was still completely overwhelmed, like beyond. And I just sat there. I know this system inside and out. I understand the language. I know the location. I know everything. How do other people do it?
Yeah.
How do they get through it? It has to be traumatizing just to be able to get through the process. So that's when the light bulb went off in my head where I'm like, I need to make a difference. I need to be able to support other people that are going through this. And that's how I became a coach. And then from a life and wellness coach, because it's something that I've always been interested in. I then recognized that the cancer community is who I need to support. So then I went ahead and I became a cancer coach. And then from there, it just evolved. The podcast happened. I now do motivational speaking. And my mission in life is if I could help one person every day by just sharing my message, then I've done my job. I'm so clear. It's my calling.
That is a beautiful calling because the cancer community, after everything is said and done, after the treatment's done, you're just left like, what's next?
Yeah. You're left alone. And that's what we talk a lot about is that the treatment part in a way, it sucks, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible, but it's kind of the easier part because you just go from appointment to appointment. You eventually know what to expect. You know that you're going to feel like crap from chemo, but then it's like, once you're done, there's nobody there. Like your social worker's gone, your therapist is gone, unless you seek them out.
Yeah.
And what I found is I was good up until year two. And then at year two, I realized I just got hit with all the emotional baggage I was carrying. And so that's why I focus on mostly women. I won't turn down men, but I gravitate towards women. Mm-hmm. And I support them as you're done with your treatment. Like now what? What do you want for your life? Like you could have anything you want. And I really just support them in working through like, you're always going to have that voice in the back of your head, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to handle whatever comes your way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so now the time to live is now, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. I love that you've turned this like really scary thing into something so beautiful to offer hope to other people. It is the scariest words to hear. You have cancer. The three scariest. You're like, okay, what's going to happen? And then when you're done with it, you're like, what's next? The what next is like, how do I pick my life back up? How do I live with these new symptoms or with neuropathy in my feet and my hands or my hair or my image of my body? You've just been so changed.
Yeah.
And how to kind of continue living after that. So it's so great that you offer something to these people who can look to you for some hope. Yeah.
Thank you. I've been very blessed to have some amazing people cross my path. And I truly believe that part of what we need as cancer warriors is to just be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Where I stand when I'm even talking to you now, I'm listening for your greatness. Like, what is it that you want for yourself? And then I'll support you in getting that. And it's something that I find is kind of missed. There's a certain relatedness, right? Like I've been through it. You've been through it. We automatically connect, even though it's completely different journeys. It's still the same of we have faced our mortality. We have lost that innocence that we had with life. Woo, you know?
Yeah.
And like, we got to get serious for a second. We have to adult.
Pretty much like, oh, yeah.
And you don't want to. You don't. The last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
So, So yeah, it's really just being a support and just being there for people and letting them realize that you can set goals for yourself. You can make plans. You don't have to wait till your next screening to decide how you're going to live the rest of your life. Live the life in between your imaging, right? Which is what a lot of people do. They live it in a positive way.
Yeah. Like
don't have the rain cloud over your head the whole time. It's also that saying I tell people all the time, you don't know if you're going to get hit by a bus on the street, like crossing the street. So what do you want to do right now? How do you want your life to look? And if it doesn't work for you, get rid of it. If the relationships in your life don't work, get rid of it. If you don't like the way your doctor is, if you don't like your doctor, you don't like your treatment plan, find somebody else. Mm-hmm. You have to be your own advocate in your life. And you have to be the person to say enough. You have to set your boundaries. You have to really just take care of yourself. It's part of self-care. And self-care is not selfish. If I've learned anything throughout this, especially as a helper, I've always served people. It's just who I am, sometimes to a fault.
Yeah.
I realized when I was going through my own healing process, I was still worrying about everybody else. And I was doing things I shouldn't be doing and hurting myself, slowing my progress down. Because I was dealing with other people and I eventually got to a point where I'm like, that needs to stop. I need to put myself first.
Exactly.
And I think as women, it's really hard to do that.
It is so hard. You want to take care of others. I remember when I was going through my treatment and telling people about it, there were people I couldn't tell because I knew that I would be taking care of them. And at first I'm like, okay, I will. And God's like, stop. He's like, that is draining you. You can't. They will have to be okay or try to find a way to be okay. You have to think about you now, and it's not a selfish thing. And that was one of the biggest things I had to drill into myself. It is not selfish to need to take care of myself. It is not. I'm a helper too, so I'm used to serving. And my cancer taught me to stop. It stops your world. You're like, okay, I need to look at me now.
You stop and you reevaluate everything that you have in your life, what you want. I thank you for bringing that point up because I got myself into some trouble because I was at a point where I could not listen to what other people had to say about what was happening with me. I couldn't handle having to handle them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So
I would feel people out to see how they would react. There's certain people I had to tell. I couldn't get around it. But for the most part, I didn't tell anybody for a good year and a half.
Wow.
And even my really close friends that I adore, I just couldn't do it. Like I couldn't. And so they got mad at me.
Yeah.
And I dealt with the lashings and I'm like, guys, but it's just where I was. I wasn't emotionally strong enough to handle your emotions too.
Yeah.
I was dealing with mine. I was forgiven. But at the same time too, when I would take a chance and tell somebody and they would come back with a really stupid comment because people don't know what to say.
They don't know what to say. They tell you some crazy things.
They don't know. It's terrible. And when it's so raw and so real, like the last thing you want to do is try to forgive somebody who's just made it worse for you.
Yeah.
So like, I just stopped talking. Really. Yeah. I knew I had certain people I could talk to. And I'm not saying that that's how people should go through life. But for me, it's what I needed to do at the time.
Yeah, same for me. Same thing. Yeah.
That's why now I have a distinction of surviving and being a warrior.
Yeah.
Like that was me surviving, you know, like just kind of going through it and just putting the pieces in place until I was able to just sit down and be like, what do I need to do? How do I need to empower myself in this journey? And that's truly why why the podcast is called that way. Like, I truly believe that going through something like this, you find the strength within you that you don't even know you have.
Yeah, it just comes out of nowhere. Am I going to lay down and die and basically let this take me, or am I going to fight?
Yeah, and you have that choice, right? And that's why I don't use the word survivor, because survivor does not resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor means that you are just, you know, letting the wind take you. That's not me, and that's not who I want the people in my life to be. Like, let's set you up. Let's get you the tools you need, the armor, everything you need in order to go in and really fight that battle.
Yeah.
And the other thing that comes along with that too is like, just give yourself grace. Sometimes it's going to be ugly. Sometimes you're going to look at yourself and be like, I'm horrendous. I look like this. My hair's like that. My skin's like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just love yourself. Love yourself for where you are and just remember you're alive and give yourself some grace that it's not going to always be perfect. You're not going to always look pretty, and it's okay, right? Like, still love yourself for all the stages that you go through. Yeah. And I don't know if that resonates with you and if I'm speaking out of line, but.
No, it totally resonates. There are just days where you're just like, I am a dumpster fire.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. I'm going to be honest with you. I suffered for quite some time with like body confidence, right? So mm-hmm. I have scars across my chest. I didn't have nipples. They're kind of like one's a little bit lower than the other. We can go into it, right? And then I went to go see my oncologist, my new oncologist, and the nurse and the oncologist were like, where did you get your work done? That's the best we've ever seen. And here I am, I'm beating myself up for the past 3 years. These things are awful. Do you know what I mean? Give yourself some grace. It'll be fine. It doesn't need to be perfect.
It's true. That is so true. I know with scarring, you mentioned that. I'm like, I look like I've been in a knife fight with my neck and all that. Someone told me those scars mean you lived. They mean that you are still here. That is so true. It's just so how true. You look at it.
It's all about perspective.
It is. It's about perspective.
Yeah. And that's why I try to live and how I try to support people is like, how can we make this into a positive?
Yeah.
What's the lesson you need to learn from it? And stuff's going to happen to you. How do you just not fall apart?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Be strong for yourself. And it's so important to just have that positive mindset to be like, it's going to be okay. I'll get through it.
Yeah, definitely. And there are times you will fall apart. There are times where you just lose it. And that's okay to do. It's okay to just lose it. It's a scary thing. But then to remember, you've lost it. Okay. Get back up.
Yeah.
Keep going and to hang in there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is your book going to be about? Is it going to be about your journey?
So I'm so blessed. I have an opportunity to collaborate with 15 other amazing women who have all overcome adversity in life.
Okay.
The book is called Women Who Boss Up.
I love it.
Yeah. And so it's a health, wellness, and lifestyle edition where we all talk about something that's happened to us where we've just overcome everything and we've just put our warrior gear on and we've just went to battle for ourselves. And so it's going to be, it's pre-ordering now and hard copies are coming out in January. I'm so excited. It was not on my radar at all. So when they presented it to me, I'm like, are you really? Like, this is happening?
Yeah.
So I honestly, as you could tell, like I'm speechless around it. I still can't believe it's happening. It's
really just,
That
is amazing. Wow. Yeah,
thank you.
So what are some of your other goals for 2020? What are some other things you want to get into and do?
Yeah. So starting next week, I have 5 30-minute sessions on Business Talk Radio. I'm really excited. And I'm going to be sharing like what I shared with you today, self-care tips, how to persevere through adversity, how to just be your own champion. And I'm really excited about that. And I also am creating a wellness retreat, a virtual wellness retreat with a group of 4 really amazing ladies. And we plan on launching that at the end of the year.
Wow.
So it's going to be really great. I'm very blessed that these opportunities find me. Really.
That's really cool. What's the retreat going to be? I'm interested. Like, what is the retreat going to be about? Can people join it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be doing an online retreat and I will be providing wellness tips. There's a yoga, there's Reiki. There's also a nutritionist that's going to be on there. We just have like a really well-rounded group of women who are there to support you in just creating the best life for yourself. We're going to have different speakers and different topics that we're going to talk about. And if there's anybody that's interested in submitting a topic that you want to hear, we're still in the middle of planning our talks. I'll be happy to submit those so you could get some insight.
I'll have to share with my cancer group. That's really cool. Is it cancer patients only or is it just like everybody?
You know, it's geared towards cancer patients because pretty much everybody that's on the platform that is a cancer warrior, but it really can be for everybody. It's really like, let's get you back to just living an amazing life.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So about your coaching, how do people find you? How do people sign up?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So everything is on my website, lorimarini.com. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that there's links to schedule an appointment. I offer a complimentary 30-minute session for anybody. I'm not a hard sell. I'm here to help you. And yeah. If you can be supported in one session, I'm good with that. There's also links to a virtual vision board course that's also on there. Oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So hopefully it kind of inspires you a little bit, makes you think about areas of life that you maybe hadn't considered. And what I love about it is that you could keep adding to it, right?
Okay.
And so I have that available. I have my email. I also have a phone number that I answer. So if anybody actually wants to get me on the phone, please call me. I would love that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eventually put the retreat link on there. It's just all in the headers, everything that you could possibly need. And if you don't find what you're looking for or have any questions, my email is on there too. So definitely feel free to email me.
I wanted to pop back really quick. For people who don't know, what is a vision board? Because some people don't know what that is.
Yeah. So I believe in that you manifest your energy, right? I'm also a Reiki practitioner. I believe mm-hmm. that we are made of energy and we manifest things through the energy that we hold. And that's why I believe having a positive mindset and a positive outlook really allows you to receive positivity in your life.
Okay.
It's kind of like one of those things where you always think that people are lucky, right? Oh, you're so lucky. It's like, I believe that you create that luck.
Okay.
Right? And so what a vision board does is you look at the different aspects of your life. So your career, your relationships, where you live, your lifestyle, anything that's important to you. And you project out what you want to receive in that area.
Okay.
Like if you want a new career, or if you want a new car, then you find the picture of a car that's similar to what you want or the exact car. And you put it on there. What happens is from you looking at this vision board and which has a whole bunch of different pictures, like if you're looking for more money, then put a roll of cash on there, right? Like
yeah.
Whatever you want to keep working towards in sustaining, I guess is the word that keeps coming to mind. So what it does is you will literally start taking action toward what you visualize every day.
Okay.
Right? It's kind of like that. It's just like the media. Over time, they change your thought process.
They do. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so having this vision board available where you look at it every day, it reminds you, hey, that's a goal for me. So then you'll start looking for things in life, or things in life will find you that'll actually allow you to attain that goal. It's super simple. And people are like, really? This really works?
Yeah.
Up until the point that the first time you're like, oh, that's a coincidence. The second time you're like, yeah, that's still a coincidence. And then the third time it makes you sit back and be like, wait a second, there's something to this. I have reinvented my life so many times by using this technique. I'm a true believer in it.
Yeah. And it helps. I'm a visual learner and I'm a goal setter. So when I see something, I'm like, okay, this is my goal.
Yeah.
I work towards it actively. I have a bucket list. These are things I want to do and I need to make visual, but I still keep to it. I wanted to go to Italy one year and I'm like, these are all the places I wanted to go. And I plan for it. And I'm like,
yeah.
To see that accomplish it is just the most exciting feeling. Like I did that. And what's my next goal? Goals are just so important. Being able to see it just kind of makes it more real and more tangible.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing too, is that, you know, the vision board that I created in 2017 while I was in treatment is the life I have now. Okay. And it's one of those things of when I think back on it, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's really on my vision board, right? I surprise myself, but I shouldn't be surprised because you work towards the things that you keep wanting, right? It becomes part of your path. It becomes part of your journey to go with what you're saying. Like you wanted to go to Italy, then Italy will find its way to you. Something will appear in your life that will get you there.
Yeah.
I truly believe that in the law of attraction. And that's why, honestly, you know, I do still work as a PA. I just limit myself as to my interactions and what I do because I guess it's not so bad now, but in the early stages for me, I was really susceptible and I take people's emotions. So it was really difficult for me to be there with other patients that were going through a difficult time and me trying to kind of heal myself. So I just really reinvented my life. I created a new job based on my education that was something like nobody's ever done before. I found a new home. Yeah, I just changed it up because it's like, if not now, when?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I relate to that. Even now, like I have a hard time working with cancer patients at work. I have one. She has a bad diagnosis. I'm just praying to God, please save this kid. It's hard. It is hard. Yeah. I will do it, but it is painful to watch. and it hits close to home, you're like, oh my gosh, this could be happening to me. You know, I work with anything, but like when I get an oncology kit on my caseload, it just brings things back again.
It's just human, right? It's just human to think that way. I don't want ever the other person to feel bad because that's how I'm feeling by recognizing what their suffering is, right? But at the same time, it's part of the relatedness, you know? It's part of just understanding what somebody is going through.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's really hard.
It is really hard. All right. So my final question for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
Oh, I love this question and I didn't expect it. You know, I'm a courageous little soul, sometimes to my own detriment, but there's no way that you could get through a cancer journey or a life crisis without being brave.
Yeah.
Because even though things happen, circumstances happen, you don't look for certain things to go down in your life. You really get to choose how you're going to react to them.
Yeah.
And so I choose to react bravely. I choose to react with courage and with positivity. And I didn't realize that that's really, really, really how I was until I went through what I just went through.
Yeah.
And it's other people really pointing it out to me, right? Because you never really think
of it. Until someone says, you know, you're this, you never think of it.
Yeah. When I'm still trying to take care of other people when I should be taking care of myself, right? That's a little dumb, I think, for me to do. Yeah. But at the same time, I realized perseverance. I just keep going one step, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love what the show is about.
Thank you. So
I just want to take the time to just truly say thank you for who you are in the world and for the positivity and the greatness that you're putting out there.
Lori, thank you. I appreciate that. It's so funny. I probably wouldn't have done half the things I'm doing, like writing, if I wouldn't have gotten this diagnosis and gotten cancer. And God basically saying, here's some things you can do. And it was honestly the Lord who was like, you should do a podcast and talk to people about their stories and overcoming. And I'm like, okay. At first I was like, no, I'm terrified. No, I'm a writer. I don't get on camera or talk behind a microphone, but it's been the most amazing thing I've ever said yes to. And I'm so glad I did.
I'm so glad you were brave to do it. Right? Yeah. That's your example of brave for sure.
Yeah.
And I love that because people need this and they need to hear from you. And thank you. Thank you for who you are.
Thank you, Lori. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is truly an honor.
I love it. All right. I will put all like your info in the show notes so people can find you. And I will definitely share your resource to my cancer people, because there's a lot of people who wonder like what now, and it'd be so helpful to have this. And I will email you all the fun adventure stuff you can do. But there's so much out there. Yeah.
It's like I said, there's just so much info out there that you really need to look for that. Yeah. And as I was going through, you know, my journey, I was just so overwhelmed that I'm like, I can't even just try to do one more thing. Like,
yeah.
I was for a good part in survival mode. And that's why now I can recognize it, right? And I'm like, you don't need to be there. I wish somebody would have done that for me. You can step beyond that.
Exactly.
Like, let's get you going, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've decided to create this. It's a definite like asset to the cancer community. Definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. I will put all the info about Lori and her coaching program in the show notes. So if yourself or anyone that you know is going through cancer or who has survived it and now is trying to figure out what to do, you can reach out to Lori and she can kind of give you some tips on how to navigate your life again. Also, I will also put like the links to all the fun things I did as an adult with cancer. There's so many great programs. I remember when I got diagnosed, officially, the first thing I thought is, what fun free things can I do? Because I'm a rec therapist in my professional life. And so I spend most of my time looking for things that my kids can do after their injury or illness. And so I'm like, there's got to be something for adults to do that's fun despite with the cancer diagnosis. So I found First Ascents, Send It, Epic. There's so many awesome things that you can do or your loved one can do. If they're 18 to 40 with some of these programs, they can go on adventures. It's great. I love it. It's built a great community. So I put all that in the show notes.
All right, next week's guest, I want to kind of give you guys a heads up. Two of our guests, we're going to talk about sexual assault and also sexual abuse, or I'm trying to think of another word for it, or basically types of abuse that can happen in the church. And so I want to give you guys that heads up so you're aware. That episode, the first episode, will be with Tiffany Bloom, who is an amazing. I had so much fun talking to her. You're going to love our interview, despite the difficult topic. I had an awesome time talking with her. She talks about her newest book, Pray Tell, and navigating abuse in the secular and faith world. And then another guest of ours, Sandy Phillips Kirkham, she also talks about that. I'm going to stagger it and maybe put her at the end of the month so it's not two back-to-back episodes of a difficult topic. She talks about her experience with sexual abuse as well. So I just want to give you guys a heads up. If you listen to these episodes, that is a topic. If you're triggered by those things, you may either want to wait. Also, if you have children, you might want to listen to these episodes with headphones so they don't hear that topic if you're not ready for them to. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Here are my big asks. Ask number one, ratings. If you love what you heard, giving ratings on iTunes really helps people find the podcast. I've gotten ratings and I absolutely love reading the feedback you guys give about the podcast. I am so grateful for you who have done that. So if you feel like you want to give a rating, even if you hate it, let me know. I want to know. Secondly, if you heard something today that you loved, share the episode with a friend. It's easy to share. You can just send a link via text on Facebook, on Instagram. Share the episode with a friend. And then finally, subscribe. You can go to braveoneministries.com, go to contact us, and you can put your stuff, your email in the list, and you will get on there. That was a tongue twister for me for some reason. But yeah, you could sign up for our email list there. You'll get the episodes a day early, and you'll find out about any cool things that are going on with the Brave podcast and other fun things that I'm doing. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week for another brand new episode with Tiffany Bloom. Thanks. Bye, y'all.